Hello, welcome to the Foxworthy Podcast. This is Brian Fox.
I'm
your host. I'm here with my co-host Taylor Gaines. This is our 15th take of just the introduction. For some reason, we're having a lot of laughter today, and we can't seem to get through this. We are the Foxworthy Podcast. We are a television podcast, also part of the Establishing Shot Podcast Network, which you can find at establishingshot.us. We are available on Twitter. You can find us at Foxworthy Pod. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, rate and review us. But we're here. I'm Brian Fox. This is Taylor Gaines. Taylor writes a TV column for GainesvilleScene.com.
Hello.
And this week we're going to be talking about, we're kind of in the middle of the season of HBO kind of dominating Sunday nights. We have...
Yeah, every week there's a day called Sunday.
Sunday.
Where HBO is just the center of TV. At this point, they probably have 3 hours of TV a week that I watch. Still probably more. Like, I feel like a lot of people probably don't watch After the Thrones, but... But, like, we've talked before, we're longtime fans of Chris and Andy, so I feel like I just want to watch it to see what happens.
I wish I could watch it, but I don't actually watch Game of Thrones,
which is one of the things we're going to discuss. Yeah, so...
So Sunday nights, 9 p.m., kind of the behemoth of television right now, airs at 9 o'clock. Game of Thrones, followed by Silicon Valley and Veep, two comedies, and I think... This is the third year now that these shows have all kind of been paired together as like a package for HBO's Sunday night, like in the spring, early summer, right? So I guess Taylor had some things that we wanted to just run down about, you know, what's going on with HBO, like what's up with these shows? Are these shows good? Why is Game of Thrones so popular? How come I don't watch it? What's it like to watch Game of Thrones if you've never watched it after 50 some odd hours of it and you have literally no idea what's happening or who anyone is?
Well, this is what I was curious about. Like, it's such an important night of TV as far as, like...
The cultural conversation.
Yeah, like, cultural conversation goes, like... Veep is probably the best. It's definitely the best comedy on TV right now, if not like the whole year.
It's so consistently funny.
And Silicon Valley has been really funny. In previous seasons, I'm a little like up and down on this particular one, but like it's been really funny. Game of Thrones is obviously such a huge phenomenon that I can't even sum up why it's popular in like a sentence.
Right.
And then like Last Week Tonight, we've talked about on here before.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on John Oliver and.
But I was curious because we've mentioned Game of Thrones a couple times in passing on the podcast, and you will kind of just say, "Oh yeah, I don't watch it," and you're so far behind that like it's hard to watch it. But let's start with this. So this Sunday, we're recording this a couple days after season 6, episode 4.
Yeah, season 6, episode 4
is what aired Game of Thrones this week.
This past Sunday.
So you watched it.
I did.
You've never seen Game of Thrones before.
I haven't.
Because we figured...
I've seen random scenes from various seasons. There was, like, a marathon once, and I sat talking to my friend, and it was, like, on in the background, but on mute, and I didn't really pay attention, and I had no idea what was happening. So I'm familiar with, like, the actors and some of their faces and some of the names of, like, the major characters.
But I've
literally never sat and watched an episode from beginning to end.
So I'm curious, because I've had people come up to me and ask about the podcast and say, like, oh, that was interesting, but I've never watched...
Such and such show.
Said show.
When The Americans, probably primary example.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that, even though it's the best show on TV.
So, like, in this case, I feel like people who are listening that don't watch Game of Thrones might be able to relate. So, like, I think it is an interesting conversation to have with someone who's never watched it before. But, actually, first I want to just kind of make myself laugh. Like, tell me what happened in this episode of Game of Thrones.
Well, there were a lot of characters and there were a lot of locations.
A little more specific, maybe?
I couldn't really tell you exactly what happened. I guess there's a castle called Castle Black. Did I follow that correctly? And that's where Jon Snow is? Or did I mess that up?
He is in Castle Black, yeah.
Jon Snow. Which, apparently, I mean, Twitter ruins everything, and everyone's been talking about it, like, spoiler alert for people who haven't watched it.
Oh, yeah, by the way, this will be a little spoilery.
This will be spoilery. I mean, but there's nothing I can, like, I don't even watch the show, and it's been ruined for me. Like, they fake killed Jon Snow. I guess he died for, like, a handful of episodes. And then, now he's back, so he's like, is he, like, the main character? Or there isn't really a main character, because there's so many characters? Anyway, I'm just gonna keep saying what I watched and what I saw.
Yeah, try to tell me, like, some of the main events you felt like happened just in this episode?
Well, apparently, I don't even think I realized this. Apparently, there's a character named Sansa. Is that correct? She's a female character. Apparently, her and Jon Snow are somehow related. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's up for debate.
It's up for debate if they're related. Okay. But yeah, apparently, well, those characters have never been on screen together. Is that accurate?
First episode. They were on screen together in the
first episode, and since then, nothing. So literally almost six entire seasons of them not interacting.
That's the kind of show you're dealing with here.
But see, that didn't hold any weight for me. I was like, oh, they're hugging. They know each other. But apparently they literally haven't seen each other in years. Well, years of real time. So that happened. There was the Dragon Lady. She burned some hut down at the end of the episode. So apparently everyone loved that scene. I was like, that looks cool. You know what's amazing? The scope of the show is, like, really, like, kind of breathtaking. And just, I will say, like, for not knowing what the hell was happening, like, a good 60 to 70% of the time, I could not look away from the screen because everything just looked so beautiful. Like, the production design is, like, so exquisite. Cinematography is great. But yeah, I mean,
what was your impression of the dwarf? What happened? Tyrion.
Oh, Tyrion's the best character on the show. Like, I would watch the show just for him.
Just from that one episode.
Yeah, but I already knew. Like, I already knew that everyone loves that guy, and he's won like what, 3 Emmys, 4 Emmys. Like, he's kind of the man.
Anyway, regardless, that was
anything else.
I don't know.
That you want me to? I
enjoyed you trying to explain Daenerys burning down a hut full of people.
I mean, it's maybe a little easier for me just because I'm sort of like peripherally aware of the show and like who some of the main people are, and like I know that Daenerys is like the Dragon Lady and she's got like a pet dragon, right? Like,
well, let's get to that then. So if you're someone who follows culture and TV on Twitter or on entertainment sites or whatever,
right,
like you can't really avoid Game of Thrones.
No.
So you either watch it or you don't watch it, and you kind of have a general sense of what people are talking about.
Yeah.
So, like, as that kind of person, how do you sort of deal with Game of Thrones? Do you just kind of take it in? You're like, I don't really care. And, like, when I watch it, I'm might not remember some of these spoilery things. Or, like, how do you...
Well, it is tricky because I feel like I am just a victim at this point of just the internet culture and the social media, definitely Twitter stuff. Because, obviously... I won't spoil it by saying what happens, but obviously there was an infamous episode in, like, the third or fourth season called The Red Wedding, which, like, people lost their minds over. A lot of people were killed in that episode.
Well, is it a
and
matter
I don't know what episode it is, like, unless I was going to go to play it and it was going to say Red Wedding, and I'd be like, oh, here we go, I'm finally at the Red Wedding. But, like, stuff like that is, like, I know it's going to happen at some point when I'm watching it, and I guess I just kind of...
Well, but, like, when that stuff
everything
happens...
Everything is spoiled, basically.
When the Red Wedding happens... And there's a million YouTube videos that are people reacting to the Red Wedding and all this stuff. Like, do you just, you're like, oh, I'm going to read it and find out? Or do you try to avoid it? Or is it just like you accidentally
see stuff? It's inevitable,
though.
Like, there's nothing you can really do. Like, even if I tried to avoid it, there would be some, like, post on Twitter that would have a picture of someone's face and say, like, so-and-so died tonight on Game of Thrones. It'd be like, great, thanks for telling me. It literally will just tell you. So, like... And this is the problem, I think, is that it's so dense and there's so much that has happened that it's like the each individual scene and each individual episode, I don't necessarily know when things are coming. I know that when I watch it, certain people, i.e. Sean Bean, the supposed lead of the series from day one, like dies in like the 8th or 9th episode. Like he gets beheaded. Like that was spoiled. Like that's been a spoiler for years now. Like we're 6 years in. There's just nothing you can really do about it. So I just kind of have to start fresh. Watch it and just accept that I know a lot of things are going to happen. I don't necessarily know when.
Well, when you watch it, is it jarring? Like, this is sort of a show where there's so many characters. Like,
possibly too many.
People always say this show has so many characters, and, like, it's not an exaggeration. Like, the way this show works is there's basically, let me just pick a number, like, 10 scenes in an episode. Or, like, 10 settings more than scenes.
Right.
And I'm probably overestimating, but, like, basically, the episode will be, like, let's hang out with Jon for a while. Let's hang out with Tyrion for a while. Let's hang out with Daenerys for a while. Let's hang out with Theon for a while. Let's hang out with so-and-so for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then it's over. Like, right. Like, a normal television episode is, like, here's Don. You're gonna see him in, like, 6 different scenes during the episode, and you're gonna... There's going to be a story. here's Joan. You're going to see her in several different scenes and be a story.
Right.
But like
referencing Mad Men. Don and Joan are Mad Men characters.
Yeah. I was thinking of Mad Men.
No, it's fine.
But like a normal TV show is like, you're going to keep coming back to the same people.
Like maybe a handful of characters.
Yeah,
at
like
the most.
Like usually like an A, B, C story, whatever. Yeah. There's going to be like an arc. But like Game of Thrones is like basically checking in with a character each week. Like,
right.
No, how weird was that for you though as like someone who watches normal TV to be like, oh, this is how they do this?
It's like, definitely weird, but let me ask you this. Like, it's my understanding that a lot of these characters have never met, and a lot of the plot lines, like, of the different settings and, like, the circumstances don't necessarily connect. Or they're building to maybe a connection at some point in the future. Well, but, like, you just named a bunch of things and a bunch of people. Like, have these people? Do these people all know each other or just know of each other and reference each other from a distance?
It depends. That's a cool thing about the show in a lot of ways is there will be... There's, like, a lot of the characters are really rich characters. There's only, like, one or two settings that are kind of slogs.
Right.
Which, like, if you say normally, like, oh, the three main characters are boring, then a show would probably be in big trouble. But, like, in this case, it's, like, 3 out of 100, so
right,
you're fine. But what's cool is with all these rich characters, like, every now and then they'll cross paths or their stories will come together or, you know, something will happen that leads to them being on the same screen, and it makes those moments like a lot richer because you've literally been building years of like different backstories, and then all of a sudden they're like together and you're like, oh, it's really cool to see these two sort of hang out with each other. So it's definitely, it's so unlike anything that's on TV. It's just
yeah,
as you mentioned, scope and like just the ambition of it is crazy. It's really interesting. It's something that we're sort of dancing around this, but like I feel compelled to like be caught up on it just because
it's everyone
because
talks
it's
about
everywhere.
It. Everyone watches it. Yeah.
And
I would feel more that way if I thought I could get through it like in a few days, but the episodes are super long. You have to pay attention because there's a lot of stuff I've missed, a lot of history, a lot of characters to keep up with. And most people I know that would watch it or do watch it are caught up. So I would literally sit by myself and catch up on 50 hours and then I'd be like, hey guys, I know what's up with Game of Thrones now. Like, I watched it. But it's one of those things. Is there something else we want to say about Thrones, or
well,
are we moving on to
I'm
a larger conversation about HBO and the other comedies?
Well, I do want to have a little bit of a larger conversation. We talked a little bit about this. When there's a show, and I would argue this is pretty much the only popular TV show outside of maybe Empire.
Yeah.
Like, when there's a show that's this popular and you're out of it, like, how tempted are you to just, like, jump into it? Or, like, you mentioned, like, you don't want to sit down for 3 days and watch the whole thing. And, like, I'm sure there are some people who might do that, but, like,
it's just long. There's just a lot.
Right. So, like, in this current, like, TV culture of, like, there's a million things on and everything's pretty good, what would it take to compel you to watch Game of Thrones? Like,
my answer, we talked about this before we started recording, my answer would be, if they give the show an end date, I'll start watching it from the beginning. Because then I want to be able to watch the final season, and I want to be able to be there for the conversation and have seen every episode of the show when the final episode of the show airs. That's just how I am. I kind of did the same thing a little bit with Breaking Bad, although I think for that I was like kind of in the middle, and I knew like, okay, they'll probably have a couple more years and I'll be in, you know, through the end. But like, I just, for me, for whatever reason, it's like kind of more interesting to be around for like the retrospective conversations about like, where does this show fit in? Like, we had 8 seasons of Game of Thrones. Where does this show fit into the pantheon of great TV? Like, how many, you know, what's the best episode? What are the, you know, best characters on the show? Like, how will the show be remembered? And like, you know, week to week, when you have a show in its final season, the week to week is a lot more like, there's a lot more finality to it. The recaps, the writing, everyone's talking about, you know, oh, it's ending. And I like that energy. And I guess your point is that energy is kind of week to week every season. But for someone like me, it's impossible for me to feel that and be excited about like, oh, Game of Thrones this week, because I literally don't know what's happening.
Well, I think that's almost a conversation of like the way you're talking about it is like, I care about endings and like, I want to see where this show is
not so much endings, but just the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Not specifically the very end,
but
you want
the ending to be part of the picture.
Right.
Right. So I think there's an interesting conversation we could have about like watching a show week to week versus taking it as a whole.
Yeah.
Which I think we should save for maybe next time.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a really interesting conversation.
Because I'm not necessarily hung up on endings, but I do like the idea of looking at something as an entire story and an entire piece. So, and I just, for me, if they were to announce tomorrow, we've decided there's going to be a 7th and 8th season of Game of Thrones, the 8th season will be the final season, I'd probably start watching Game of Thrones now so that I could watch those last two seasons and know that the ending is happening and that I'm not going to start catching up and they're going to just be producing more episodes that I can't watch as I'm catching up.
Let me say this, and then we'll move on from this. As someone who watches Game of Thrones, I will say, even though they haven't announced an end date, when I watch it, this sixth season in particular, it's very noticeable that the show is moving towards an end.
Yeah.
Because kind of the fifth season, it started to feel like treading water sometimes.
Right.
As far as like characters just being stagnant and stagnant in certain places and like feeling like they've just been there too long. But now it feels like things are starting to happen and the show is coming to an end. I don't know if it's going to be seventh season or eighth season or whatever, but like it's definitely,
well, they talked about shortening the seasons by a few episodes, so we might get, you know, 16 episodes total left at, you know, the last two.
It's definitely clear though at this point that the show is on its back end more than anything else, which I think is worth noting if people are like, oh, is it gonna end or is it gonna be like Walking Dead and run forever?
Well, they've had Ben Hod and they've said before, like, we can make the show last forever. They've literally have said that. And then I think that's probably what HBO wants because of the popularity. And then they said, oh, we could go as many as 10 seasons. But now I think they're seriously talking about, like, okay, like, two more, like, short seasons. That was, like, the last thing we've heard, like, a few weeks back. They were, like, two short seasons, possibly the eighth would be the final, so.
It's worth watching, and it's
a lot of time. I don't doubt that it's worth watching, but
it's a lot of time, which is, you know, that's TV
right now.
It's just a lot of time. Right. I was telling you before, I was trying to catch up on Vinyl, and like, every episode is 2 hours long, and it's just frustrating. I'm exaggerating, slightly. But
what did we want to say about Veep in Silicon Valley?
Well,
that, does it tie into what we were just talking about with the cultural conversation?
Well, how about quickly, like, drama versus comedy? Do you feel like you could catch up on Silicon Valley just because it's shorter and breezier and funnier?
Yeah, well, there's obviously, like, the episodes are literally half the length, and there's only, I guess we're in the early episodes of the third season, so it would take me, what, 5 hours? So it'd take me, like, a little over 10 hours to get caught up, which isn't a terrible commitment. I've seen the pilot of Silicon Valley when it first, like, aired, but at the time, I didn't really have regular access to HBO, so I kind of saw that pilot and then jumped right into, like, where we are in the third season. And that was kind of interesting, because I was like, okay, like, I could kind of see, like, how we got here, maybe, like, just knowing the basics of what the show is about. But in terms of a cultural conversation...
Silicon Valley this week, right?
Yeah, I watched everything this week.
But you hadn't watched Silicon Valley other than the pilot. So, correct. Like, what did you think of, like, jumping into a show like Silicon Valley versus Game of Thrones, was it easier, more enjoyable?
It was a little bit easier, for sure, just because it's not as dense, but I still didn't quite follow what was going on. But, like, I will say, in terms of, like, what I remember the humor from the pilot, like, it wasn't... This particular episode this week was not as funny as what I remember from, like, the early first season stuff.
Interestingly, I think that's one of my criticisms of this particular season of Silicon Valley is, like, it's...
The humor is not as strong.
The humor is up and down, I think, a little bit, but the plot has just kind of bogged it down in a way where I think it's like, worth noting that you tried to jump in, you're like, I didn't really understand completely what was happening.
Yeah.
Because, like...
It's a little easier to put the pieces together, but it's still, like...
Like, a show like, Veep, I know you actually have watched all of Veep.
Yeah,
but
it's pure gold.
But I feel like anyone could have watched this week's episode of Veep and sort of figured out what was happening and been able to really enjoy it.
And this week's episode was brilliant. Like, just laugh-out-loud hilarious. And it was about death. And it was still so funny.
Well, if you can't laugh at death, then what do you do with it, right? But Veep is just... we talked before the podcast, like, trying to prepare for this. I don't even know what we could say about Veep. Because it's just so...
It's perfect.
It's just so funny. And, like, every character on it is really funny. and every actor on it's really good. The writing's good.
A lot of joke density. Just tons and tons of jokes.
Many jokes.
We could sit and praise it, but...
I will say, if you are thinking about watching Veep, one of the things that is actually a little jarring about it is how many jokes there are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I vividly remember when I watched the pilot years ago, I sort of just felt like I had to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because...
It never stops moving.
It's just moving so fast, and there's so many jokes, and, like, people are just insulting each other, like, everywhere, and it's, like, it's just really hard to, like, keep up. It's sort of like any comedy, which this is kind of my pet theory, I guess, where, like, I don't really think you can judge a comedy and whether you think it's funny based off of the first couple episodes. I think it takes time to settle into the world and get used to the way, the rhythms of everything, especially because comedy is a lot about rhythm and pacing and stuff. But I think once you get in, like, Veep's kind of groove, there's really nothing funnier than it.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. There are so many just amazing jokes. I laugh out loud. Julia Louis-Dreyfus she deserves the awards that she wins.
Is she, like, the greatest comic actress of...
She does literally anything, and I laugh. I cannot control my laughter. I laugh out loud because she's so funny. That show is brilliant.
Yeah, I don't even...
And we should mention, like, this fifth season, there's, like, the guy who created it, like, kind of backed out after last season.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't remember reading why he left.
I think he's foreign, and he just didn't want to, like, come, like, work in the States. He was just like, I'm leaving on my own volition. I don't think there was any, like, bad blood at HBO or anything. I think he's just like, I'm ready to step back. Right. I mean, he obviously still has the creator credit, but, like, there's a totally new showrunner this season. And it's basically the same show.
The show hasn't suffered at all.
No, it's consistently funny. But I guess the point we're making is that HBO, for whatever reason, has just, like, they have these... I mean, you mentioned John Oliver, and now they have After the Thrones, and there's Silicon Valley, Veep, and Game of Thrones. Like, all of this stuff, like, this is just, like, where else would you go on Sunday night? Like, this is just what they do. This is sort of their... Even if you're kind of down on Silicon Valley this season, but, like, you're going to keep watching it, and it's kind of just, like, a part of the HBO's Sunday night package.
It's still pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's just, like, things about it have bothered me a little bit. But I think, like, my big takeaway from this is, like, if you're listening to our podcast and you're like, I don't know that I watch that much TV or that I... would I like TV? Would I like following TV? Because TV is almost like a sport at this point.
It is.
Where you have your teams that you follow. The analogy is a little bit of a stretch, but, like...
It makes some sense, though.
But, like, you're trying to follow everything and hear other people talk about it, and, like, it's like sports in that way, except you're following a million different teams other than one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, like, if each TV show is sort of like a team... Then you're like, oh, I'll watch this, this, and this, and I'm going to keep up on this and hear people talk about it. But, like, Sunday Night HBO is basically, like, the New England Patriots of, like, TV, except that, like, half the country probably doesn't hate it.
Yeah.
Where, like, everyone's going to be talking about it regardless of if they're a fan or not. Like we've been talking about Game of Thrones. You don't watch it, and you're still not going to be able to avoid it.
Yeah.
I think if you are interested in TV, Sunday night on HBO, this particular time of year is sort of the place to start.
Yeah, it's sort of the Holy Grail.
Yeah, like, I don't know if people are comfortable sort of jumping into stuff, or if they just want to catch up, or whatever.
Right.
But it's basically the place to start if you want to know what TV culture is like in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, it's peak TV. It's... Everyone talks about, you know, whatever is going on HBO. I guess maybe we could do a quick preview. What's coming up? I guess we mentioned Preacher is starting this weekend, right? On AMC.
Tell me about Preacher. This.
Tell you about it?
Do you know anything about it? I know that Seth Rogen...
Based on a series of graphic novels that are apparently, I guess, a little divisive, but, like, some people think are brilliant. I don't really know the basic premise, but, yeah, Seth Rogen is, like, working on the adaptation. Apparently the TV version is, like, pretty different from the graphic novel series. Like, they took a lot of liberties with, like... I think it's one of those situations where there's a lot of stuff that they couldn't do because it was either too graphic or obscene or too much profanity, stuff like that. But I guess that's something interesting we might look into. Sunday night, I think, Preacher starts on AMC.
Yeah, I think AMC's Night Manager, which is also a six-part miniseries.
Right, concludes.
And Sundance's Last Panthers, which is another six-part miniseries, are two other things that are kind of on my radar.
We've mentioned Mr. Robot. I mean, we have a little while for that, because we're still in May, but I think it's July 13th, like middle of July.
Yeah.
Unreal, which we talked about, is June. So there's definitely some summer stuff. There's probably stuff, like last summer, we didn't even know we're going to show up. Like, we did a whole podcast on last summer's TV and just how everything was amazing.
Yeah.
So, well, it's like...
there's also, like, Netflix still exists.
Right.
So, like...
there's going to be a new season of Bloodline.
Yeah, well, and there's also stuff from months ago that I haven't even opened.
Right.
I mean, I've seen the first episode of things.
Yeah.
Like, Daredevil and House of Cards and...
yeah.
Kimmy Schmidt, I still haven't watched.
Can't believe that. That's, like, your favorite show.
Horse you and Pete that. Is out there.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. Neither one of us have watched it, but apparently we need to, because Louis C.K. is, like, pretty proud of it, has been talking a lot about it.
Yeah, there's I feel like we say the same thing
every week. We say the same thing every week.
There's so much stuff. If you want, it's almost like if you read books, if you're like, I don't like reading books, then I would turn to you and be like, there's a book that you'll like.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's so much TV
You'll
right
find
now.
Something that's meant for you.
That there's something on right now that you would like. That's basically the point where we're at.
Yeah.
So
it's the specific. The specifics are.
So tweet at us. What do you like? What do you not like?
Yeah. Tell us.
What are you looking for?
What do you miss? I've been thinking about this a lot recently. I really miss Mad Men. Like, I really miss it. I'm thinking about going back and revisiting some of it, because I just miss it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. There's nothing like it on TV now. Everything's just like, I mean, obviously everything's like super different. There's a lot of diversity in the storytelling and there's just all kinds of stuff. But I don't know. For some reason, I've been feeling really like nostalgic for Mad Men. I don't really know why.
You know what I'm missing? Hannibal. I know we're not even back to the time where Hannibal would have been on again yet. But like,
Hannibal.
I love Hannibal so much. Never mind. I'm not gonna do a Hannibal thing.
But we'll leave it there. I think that's pretty good.
We're being wistful now.
We are the Foxworthy Podcast. Go watch some television. Tweet at us about it. Ask us what we think of certain things. There's probably a lot of stuff we haven't watched. Probably a lot of stuff you haven't watched. Tell us what your favorite show is. Holler at us. Talk to us. Tell us if you hate the podcast. Love the podcast. We can be found on Twitter @FoxworthyPod. You can follow me @FoxBJ_88. You can follow Taylor @GainsTaylor. And hopefully we'll be back next week. Not sure what we're going to talk about yet. There's plenty to talk about, so we'll come up with something new and interesting and try to give a spin on it. Thank you very much for listening.